Last night, I had the opportunity and a privilege, really, to deacon at the cathedral for the Easter Vigil. And while I was bummed and disappointed that I missed out on the Easter Vigil here because we had 15 people come into the church last night at our vigil, it was beautiful to be at the cathedral, to have the beautiful space with the beautiful music to celebrate this significant, special day. So it was great, and it was really beautiful. But before Mass began, before the vigil began, we had about 2 hours of utter chaos in our preparation at the cathedral. Because every priest knows who has been at Easter, they know that the most important part of the Easter vigil is the Easter candle. And so beforehand, you always check to make sure it fits into the Easter candle stand and make sure it slides in and out easily, because you have to do that several times in the vigil. And so at the practice yesterday, we realized that the stand was broken. The bolt that attaches the whole stand together and also inserts into the bottom of the candle, thus holding the candle up, was broken. And so we tried to fix it, or they tried to fix it, with a temporary fix that was not working at all. And so we were like 2 hours before the vigil without a candle stand. We didn't know what we were going to use for the actual candle. And this candle right here, it's pretty big, but the candle at the cathedral is like this tall, this big around, and it weighs like 50 pounds. So it is ginormous, and it needs a lot of support. And they were helpless, guys. They're city slickers at the cathedral. They didn't know how to fix it. And so the deacon saved the day. We built this wooden frame on top of the stand, and we just clamped it with DeWalt C-clamps, and it was pretty crude, but it did its job. And it held the candle, even though the candle stand was broken. And we had flowers around the candle stand, so no one really saw the wood and the clamps. But we saved the day. And so I thought of the story of, like, Rudolph, you know, how he saved Christmas. Well, Deacon saved Easter at the cathedral last night. It was great. Stop. But all that is just really important. Like, the Easter candle is one of the most important parts of Easter. This is the sign for us of the risen Christ. Christ risen from the dead. And ultimately, it's the profession of God's love for us. God professes his love for us today on Easter Sunday. And last night at the vigil, you go through the different times in the Old Testament when God draws close to man, giving them signs or clues that he is in love with them. So we start at Genesis, but then we go throughout the entire Old Testament. And time again, God draws close to man. And so we hear of that, and we hear of the clues that God makes, but that all leads to the climax of Easter, when God sticks not just his neck out for humanity, but his whole body out for humanity, out of pure love for them. And we kind of can see this in our own lives with our human relationships. When you are in love with someone, or when you want to actually kind of win someone over, you want to give them some clues that you know, you like them, and like you like them. And I can think of like awkward middle schoolers who kind of try to sit next to each other at Mass so they can shake hands with the person that they have a crush on. Like, that's one example of a clue that, you know, that you like the other person. But then when you get older, you might actually like say like, hey, like, I like you. I want to take you on a date. And so you drop clues or hints that you are maybe in love with someone. But it ultimately has to lead to a point in time when you have to be very vulnerable and honest and say, I love you. And that's a very vulnerable position to be in, because if you're not met with love, if that's not reciprocated, then you're just kind of left alone. And the worst case scenario is this zone that you might have heard called the friend zone. Okay, that's when you tell someone that I have feelings for you, you know, I like you. But then they say, actually, I just see ourselves as friends. That's the friend zone. That's the worst place to be in. And that never has happened to me. It really hasn't. I don't know why that is so funny. But the friend zone is a bad place to be in. And I think oftentimes in our lives, we friend zone God. Oftentimes in my life, I think that my relationship with God is good enough. Like, I'm content with where I'm at. But God, time and time again, tries to make his love known to us, and he makes himself extremely vulnerable to the point of laying everything out and professing his love for us on the cross and then today at the resurrection. So this requests a response from us. We can either stay in the friend zone, we can either be content with where we're at now, or we can actually respond in a proper way. And the proper response is truly a committed relationship with God, because he loves us. And so the only necessary response, the only response that makes sense, is a committed love with him. That's why St. Paul in our second reading says that if you have died with Christ and risen with Christ, then you should seek the things from above. You should constantly seek the things from above. And so our life after Easter is different. We should be aware of God's love for us, and we should constantly be seeking him, constantly seeking his love and his relationship. And so today, this morning, we are given the chance to renew our baptismal promises. And brothers and sisters, this is the promises that we make to God where we profess our love for him. And not just any type of love, but an actual committed spousal-like love for God, our Maker. And so today is a good time to just do a reality check and ask, am I committed to God? And if you feel that you're intimidated by that proposal, the proposal from God, come to Mary and ask her intercession. Because Mary, our mother, is the perfect model of what it means to be in a committed relationship with our Lord. There is no account in the Gospels of Mary appearing, or Jesus appearing to Mary after the resurrection. But it's held by the longest tradition that Mary was fully aware that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. She was never actually in doubt after his death that he was going to rise. So she lived even in those dark days after Good Friday. She lived with the awareness and the confidence that God has this committed relationship with her, and she stayed there in that relationship. And so when we make our promises today, may we ask her intercession that we might mean what we say when we say, I reject Satan, and I acknowledge Jesus as my Savior, and I long to go to heaven, my homeland. And may we, like Jesus, rise truly into this newness of life, where we can live in a committed relationship with God, our Father.